Well, sometimes having an index in your Bible is a good thing. The book of Habakkuk tonight. Habakkuk chapter 1. Israel is standing on the brink of captivity. So Habakkuk goes to the Lord. This book is a conversation between a man and God. He speaks with God, and God speaks with him. And that's how it ought to be. So Habakkuk chapter 1, we'll read the first four verses. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore, the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth. A man with a burden will always make a difference with God. And that's how this book starts off. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. It doesn't matter about the circumstances. Habakkuk had a burden. He saw a burden. He didn't just feel it. He saw it every morning. The situation in that day was absolutely hopeless unless God intervened. Sam Hadley was a preacher in New York City at the beginning of the 20th century. He was walking the streets of New York, and it was as if an unseen hand pressed him down, and he went over to a light pole and he fell to his knees and he looked up and he said, "Oh God, the sin of this city is killing me and they don't even care." He had a burden for New York City. John Knox looked over Scotland and he was crying and he said, "Oh God, give me Scotland or I die." People with a burden see beyond normal vision. They see him who is invisible. They know that God is real, that God is able, and that God is personal. They know that God is the only answer to some of the problems that we face. In Habakkuk, he can't help talking about his burden. That's what the book is all about. It consumes him. He needs help. He wants help. He understands the love for his nation is constraining him. In looking at America this evening, and we see it every day, and we hear about it every day, what's going on in our nation. You ought to be burdened if you have no burden for your nation. Troubled if you are not troubled. Weeping if you are not weeping. Concerned if there is no concern. Here's what Habakkuk saw. He saw a nation defiled by sin. It wasn't just a nation. His nation was defiled by sin. Let's read verses 3 and 4. Again, why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. And ladies and gentlemen, we are seeing this every day of our lives. Same thing. Habakkuk said, This is my nation. And oh Lord, I'm so concerned about it. Here's how bad it was. Go back to the left a little bit in your Bible, Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah chapter 36. And we'll read the first seven verses here. Jeremiah chapter 36. And it came to pass in the fourth year, Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that the word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations. From this day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore, you go. Go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. Jeremiah is a contemporary of Habakkuk. God gave him a message, and Baruch takes it to the king. Here's what happened when he takes the message from God to the king. Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 15. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. And it came to pass when they had heard all the words, they were afraid both one and other, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Then said the princes unto Baruch, go, hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. And they went into the king unto his court, but they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudah to fetch the roll. They took it out of the Elishama, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudah read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, taking it easy. And there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudah had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. And yet they were not afraid nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all the words. The king basically said, I don't want God. I don't want his word. I'll take my penknife. I'll cut out what I don't like, and I'll throw it into the fire. And he did. I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, it sounds a lot like a lot of people in America. They don't want God, and they don't want his word. Here's where we are. Go with me to Romans chapter 1. Here's where we are, folks. And you know exactly where I'm headed. Romans chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 21. We'll read to the end of the chapter. This is describing our nation. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And all you have to do is listen to the news on television, and that's exactly what you are saying. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. The cause is always more to be concerned. We are to be concerned with than the creature. And these people are worshiping the creature and not the cause, not the Creator. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. I probably shouldn't even mention it, but it was on Tucker Carlson last night. And if you saw the 15 seconds that went on at the Grammy Awards, it was the most vile thing I have ever seen in my life. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication and wickedness and covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Folks, our nation is defiled by sin, and judgment must begin at the house of God. It has to begin with us. The Bible doesn't say if the president or if his cabinet or if the Congress would humble themselves and pray. He doesn't say that. He says if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and we've got to do it. Second of all, he was desperate for help. Habakkuk is not at a place where he can take it or leave it. He's got to do something. The love for his country constrained him. But here's the deal. If you're looking for a painless way to follow Christ, you are expecting the unreasonable. It's not going to happen. God has done His greatest work in our lives in times of great trouble and heartache. Habakkuk's burden was not just seeing how bad everything was. He wanted God to do something. He says, oh God, how long? And then chapter 2, verse 1, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. David said this, it is time for thee, Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. Habakkuk admits that he needs reproving, so God speaks to him. And in chapter 2, verse 4, it's a wonderful verse. It's the key to this book. It's also the key to the Christian life. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. Here's the deal. But the just shall live by faith. And ladies and gentlemen, that's still in effect today. The just, that's you and I, shall live by our faith. And then last of all, he is a God who delights, bless you, in mercy. Go with me to Micah chapter 7. Just to the left in your Bibles, a couple pages. Micah chapter 7. Look at verses 18 and 19. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. He delighteth in mercy. Now back to Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail. The fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold. And there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet, Habakkuk says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. With all that was happening and going on in Israel that was so bad, Habakkuk said, I will still live by my faith. If everything fails, Lord, you are still on the throne, and here's some good things. Psalms 136. Thank God for the book of Psalms. Psalms 136. Let's just read the first 9 verses. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. So my question to you tonight is, are you burdened for our nation? Are you burdened for our church? Are you burdened for the souls of men? Oh, Father, thank you for your great mercy that you have toward us. We are so very thankful. And dear Father, help us to make a difference in our nation, that we would humble ourselves and pray and seek your face. Turn from our wicked ways. Oh God, help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I need to tell you that Jim and Judy made it to Kentucky. They went through snow and rain. They just had lots of travel travail, but they made it, and things are well. We have received a request of the letter from the Emmanuel Baptist Church in Florence, Kentucky. It's on Pleasant Valley Road. What a great name of a church and the road that it is on.